May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in the faith, particularly you, young brothers and sisters in the faith. How great it is to see you all here in chapel this morning. The text for our meditation is that which was read as the lesson for today in Mark chapter 8, particularly verse 34. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." A story entitled "The Rock" goes like this. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man would need to follow the Lord's instructions to push against that rock with all his might. In following Jesus, the man did just that. Day after day, for many days, many months, many years, he pushed against that rock with all his might from sun up to sun down, setting his shoulders and hands against that hard, cold rock, pushing with all his might. Every night, the man returned to his cabin, sore, worn out, tired, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain because the rock was not moving. Seeing and sensing his signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture by placing his own thoughts into the head and heart of that particular man. And so Satan said to this man, "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this task? You're never going to be able to move that rock." And so the man, through Satan's communication, began to feel somewhat disheartened. And the impression that this man got from Satan's communication was that this was an impossible task, that he himself was a failure, that he had spent much of his life in a futile effort. He was sorely disheartened and discouraged. And so the man began to say to himself, "Why kill myself over this task? I'll just put in my time because I promised that I would follow Jesus and do what he said. But I'll just give it the minimum effort and that'll be good enough." But something didn't quite seem right about that approach. And so he said, "Maybe I should take this to the Lord in prayer." He prayed, "Lord, I've labored long and hard in your service, following what you told me to do, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. And yet after all this time, I have not even budged this rock one half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" The Lord responded compassionately, "My son, when I ask you to follow me, and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against that rock with all your might, all your strength. That you have done. Never once did I mention that I expected you to move it, the rock. Your task was to push. Now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is sinewed and brown. Your hands are calloused and tough from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much. And your abilities now surpass that by far, which they used to be. Yet it is true, you have not moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push, to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. Now I will move the rock. What does it mean, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, to follow Jesus? In our text today, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. He begins this lesson by teaching us that he himself would have to suffer and die. And you heard the reading where Peter, good old impulsive Peter, quick at the trigger, always fast and wanting to reply and to defend, Peter himself rebuked Jesus for talking about his own death. But then Jesus rebuked Peter and called all of the crowd and the disciples to himself and said those words, which meant to the disciples of that day and to the disciples of this day, that if we are indeed to come after Jesus, we must follow that same path. Peter's understanding was an incorrect understanding about this whole matter of Jesus suffering and death. Now, Peter thought it was all about glory, probably for Jesus, but certainly also for his great disciples. But Jesus taught him and the disciples, and he teaches us that it's not about glory, it's about the cross and sacrifice. And so today, particularly in this holy, reflective, penitential season of Lent, we do well to be reminded of what it really means to follow Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Even in this season of Lent, Christian people, including the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Christian people, have a propensity at times to deny themselves of some special, whatever it might be, chocolate. Anybody here denied himself chocolate for the season of Lent? Some people give up other so-called luxuries, non-necessities of life. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago I had dinner with a Lutheran Christian person, not a pastor, but a Lutheran fine Christian layman, who announced in a pious, godly way that he had given up scotch for Lent. I observed that he consumed enough wine during that meal to more than compensate for giving up the scotch. That's not the denial of self about which Jesus is saying is necessary for you and for me and for his disciples. Rather, a denying of our own self, our own self-centeredness, our own self-righteousness, our own idea, wrong-headed as it is, that I can be just like God and that I don't need God to tell me what to do. I can make those decisions on my own. We deny our selfishness, our self-centeredness, as we respond to the power of the Holy Spirit in word and in sacrament through repentance and holy baptism, daily drowning the old Adam within us. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must also take up his cross. We talk in those terms as Christian people about having crosses to bear. As parish pastors and as deaconesses in congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you will hear your people talk in those terms, referring to ordinary illnesses, even death, or other maladies or problems that they encounter as bearing one's cross. In fact, those are parts of everyday life. And while they bring suffering, that's not what Jesus had in mind when he said, we must take up our cross and follow him. Rather, taking up the cross of Jesus is being willing, if called upon to do so, to suffer for the fact that we are connected to Jesus Christ and that we are in obedience to his holy will for our lives. You've heard in recent days about people in certain parts of the world who are, in fact, in danger of losing their very lives as a direct consequence and result of their connection with the Lord Jesus. They're leaving the Islamic faith and becoming a Christian. By the grace of God, we live in a country where, even though we may be subject to some ridicule or marginalization as a result of our faith, when is the last time your very life has been threatened because you said, "I am a Christian person"? The freedoms of our country do not dictate that kind of response to our faith. May God's name be praised. What Jesus is talking about is a steadfast obedience to his will in a world where everything goes and anything goes, and in a world where standing up for that in which we believe, that which we teach and confess, will not always be the most popular action for us to take. Taking up the cross of Jesus for Jesus meant just that. His suffering and dying on the cross of Calvary, because of God's great love for the world, to remove the guilt and stain of your sin and mine and the sin of all the people of all the world of all time. We thank God that God does not call upon us to make that sacrifice because it has already been made by Jesus of Nazareth on Calvary's cross. And finally, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must follow me." That is our privilege as Christian people, to follow Jesus to that cross, where at the feet of the cross we lay our sin, our guilt, our failure, our sins of omission, of commission, and of nomission. We thank God for his grace, his love, his mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord, whereby we are cleansed from the guilt and stain of that sin, and our lives are free in response to his great love to live our lives in service to his glory. But it's more than following Jesus to the cross, because as Christian people, we know that we have the opportunity and the privilege of following Jesus also to the tomb, which in a very few short days from now, you and I and billions of Christians around the world will be gathered at that empty tomb to give glory and thanks to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus was led to the cross, that Jesus was buried in the tomb, but most importantly, that Jesus is gone from the tomb. He is risen at that time, are the words we shout. He is risen indeed. And so, as his Christian people, with the assurance and the hope that his resurrection proves and demonstrates power over death itself, we move forward with that great mission that he has given us to proclaim his crucifixion and his resurrection, that mission, that one mission, that one message of sharing that word with people who do not know who Christ is or what he has done or who have not yet accepted that great grace of God in Christ Jesus. And as the people of God gathered in this place and gathered together in the body of Christ, we have unity as one people to proclaim that message and to accomplish that mission in his most holy and precious name. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Never before has that been more poignantly etched in my mind than in an experience which my wife, Terry, and I had with a number of other people from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2004 as we journeyed to Africa, particularly in Obed-Edom, West Africa, Nigeria. And to compress an elongated story, after a five-hour worship service in 95-degree heat and 95% humidity, we were privileged to visit a cemetery which is designated for missionaries and their families from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who first brought the seed of the gospel to the people in Obed-Edom. Children are buried there, little children, along with their parents, who shortly after going to that country over 65 years ago to bring the seed of the gospel, died from disease for which there was no inoculation or vaccination or antidote. And as I think about that picture of the 2,000 plus people from Obed-Edom and surrounding territory who traveled a long distance to be there for that worship service, and as I compared that glorious scene with the picture of the cemetery, with men, women, and children buried there, having given their lives for the sake of the gospel, I realize that the sacrifice that you and I are called to make in this country pales in significance to the sacrifice that they gave. They were called upon to give their very lives. And yet, our ministry, our mission, our calling is without fear, faithfully and fruitfully to be involved in that same kind of work wherever the Lord calls us and however the Lord calls us to be in His mission and in His ministry. May God grant each and every one of you, even as He grants to me, the special joy in the midst of challenge and trial and tribulation of being His ambassadors, of having the privilege and the challenge of coming after Jesus, of denying ourselves, of taking up our cross, and of following Him. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.